I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
What happens when the fourth turning meets fifth generation warfare?
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from evil.
Today, justice has been served. Today, we prove that no one is above the law. No matter how rich, powerful, or politically connected you are, everyone must play by the same rules. Donald Trump may have authored the art of the deal, but he perfected the art of the steal.
$453,500,000. That is the amount Judge Arthur Engoron has ruled Donald Trump has to pony up in his New York civil fraud case. Engoron also ruled that Trump is barred from personally running a business in New York for the next 3 years.
Some of President Trump's supporters are pushing back against what they see as an unfair justice system. Some truck drivers say they're planning on refusing shipments to and from New York City in protest of that $355 million verdict against the former president.
Ultimately, the most important, we've employed tens of thousands of people in New York, and we paid taxes like few other people have ever paid in New York. And they don't care about that. It's a state that's going bust.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Daily, powered by today Blackout Coffee and a number of other things. We are here live, Washington D.C., and I've got some questions for you. Did the whole, by the way, no screen Sundays yesterday, first Sunday of Lent with no screen Sundays? Wonderful, wonderful day. Today is February 19th, 2024, Anno Domini. The Kansas City cover-up. I want to talk about this because even right-wing media is terrified of talking about Kansas City. The media won't name the shooters. Ann Coulter was on Bill Maher talking about this recently, and she said there's a reason they won't do that because it doesn't fit their narrative. Do you understand you're living through an era of information warfare? Do you understand there's no way to accurately understand the world in which we live in if you continue to believe what the mainstream media tells you? And the fact that the police department in Kansas City is involved in this, it's very clear. By the way, let's play a clip of the Kansas City Police Department just to see how serious they are about tackling crime as opposed to responding to gang violence in the city of Kansas City. Let's play that clip, boys.
Work all night and a drink of rum.
Daylight come and we won't go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and we won't go home.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and we won't go home.
We also, I believe, have a new clip of the Kansas City mayor responding to the governor of Missouri. And remember, this is Casey Moe talking about the entire situation where the mayor of Kansas City is responding to the fact that the governor of Missouri referred to these shooters. And remember, they literally shot up the Super Bowl parade. The Super Bowl parade right here in the United States of America shot it up in America's heartland. And he referred to them as thugs after they shot many children at the Super Bowl parade. Let's play the mayor's clips.
After the shooting, he said, we can't let some thugs and criminals just take over and ruin what happened.
I have respect for the governor. We get along well. I disagree strongly with how he would describe that situation. I certainly do think this was criminal activity. It was lawlessness. But thugs is a dog whistle in the most classic sense. And I have seen this dog whistle time and again. There's this kind of giant conservative theory on social media now that the reason that mugshots haven't been shown is because the purported defendants are black, and if it were a white defendant, we would have just shown them. That is.
A purported conservative theory on social media that the reason the mugshots haven't been shown is because the suspects are black. Well, by the way, thank you, because I don't know if you just realized, you just admitted the fact that the shooters are in fact black, because no other authority figure anywhere in Kansas City has stated this. Not the police, not the DA. No one has reported any information about these shooters. We've got videos, by the way, that have been running around. We can see people who were arrested. We can see the photos on social media. There's another video that just came out that went viral. We can't confirm or whether or not this is the shooters, but it does appear to be an altercation. It appears to be some kind of argument that took place prior to the shooting that people are saying may have something to do with it, because we were told before that it was an altercation between individuals that led to the Super Bowl shooting. But I want to be very clear about something and steely-eyed about this. The media will cover up with their power of omission and story selection bias the truth of our very world, even if it's a shooting at the Super Bowl, because they don't want to admit that black gang violence on the streets of Kansas City spilled over and shot up a Super Bowl parade. This is what happens in our country. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
I grew up in the hood. I rolled with Bloods, and them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trimatazole, it's a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, folks, got to tell you about today's episode sponsor, Allegiance Gold. You know that if you're part of the Human Events daily audience, exactly what is going on with the U.S. dollar. And Putin said it himself during the Tucker Carlson interview that's seen over 200 million times. We're printing too much money. The weaponization of the U.S. dollar was a mistake. The consequences of overprinting could be catastrophic for your family's future. And with 401k accounts losing 25% of their value the past 2 to 3 years, why would you continue to risk your personal savings? Don't gamble with your financial future. Invest in the one thing that has proven stable for centuries. Gold from the company that I trust, Allegiance Gold. You won't be disappointed. I know them. I partnered with them. I spent time with Mark and Michael. Their relationships, look, they're based on integrity, expertise, impeccable service. That's why they've earned the highest trust rating in the precious metals industry. Go to protectposo.com today or call 844-577-POSO. Right now, get up to $5,000 in free silver with a qualifying purchase. Don't get fooled by inflated stock values or the promise that the economy is stable. Protect your financial future today. ProtectWithPOSO.com. That's ProtectWithPOSO.com, 844-577-POSO. Now, we got some comments in about my statement here about, and really my argument, that there's a reason they're not naming the shooters. And I've heard people say, oh, well, it's because they're juveniles, because they're under 18. You know, they don't want to bring that in. They've only been suspected. Excuse me. No. Because we know that the Kansas City media in particular has made an issue of someone who's underage recently. And who was that? Oh, yes, that's right. His name was Holden Armenta. Remember Holden Armenta, the 9-year-old Kansas City Chiefs fan who dared to wear a headdress, to dare to paint his face in the colors of the team. One of the colors happened to be black. The entire media went after him. The entire media named Holden Armenta. The entire media made a huge issue out of this. But yet when it comes to the people who actually, by the way, for doing nothing wrong other than rooting for his team, right? It was a perceived thought crime. They named him. They went after him and performed actual defamation per se. We saw this with Nick Saban, who was a minor. And of course we saw this with who? Oh, right. Kyle Rittenhouse. I don't remember anyone caring that Kyle Rittenhouse was named, even though he was a minor, but you can shoot up the Super Bowl parade. Shoot up the Super Bowl parade in a city in our country's heartland, and the media won't talk about it. Taylor Swift, I'll give her credit, $100,000 to the victim's family. Great job. Ann Coulter brought this up, and Van Jones kind of smiled and nodded on Bill Maher, and she was saying, look, the reason they're doing this is because it's not white and doesn't fit the narrative. The narrative that white people are the problem, the narrative that MAGA is the problem, that QAnon's the problem, that tweets like Josh Shriver from Michigan last week, you know, he tweeted something about the Great Replacement, retweeted Poso, that's causing violence. That's not what's causing the homicides in this country. It's gang-style violence on our streets that's causing the bodies to stack up in city after city. And you need to understand how powerful the media is with story selection bias and the fact that they're not leading with this, the fact they're not having a national conversation about this. You're not hearing very much from the White House. You're not hearing, you know, these calls for anything other than, oh, we got to go after the guns. It's just gun violence, which, again, is a cop-out. Because saying we need bigger gun laws or better gun laws or more powerful gun laws, that has nothing to do with this. By the way, we had a trans shooting last week. Nobody wants to talk about that, even though it was Joel Osteen's church that was hit, the Lakewood Church. Richard Barris, the People's Pundit, is our guest here. Rich,
yeah, brother.
Do people understand that the media's greatest power is the fact that they set the narrative, and even the right falls for this so much? That's why they won't talk about this story, because if it is, and here's what it is, right? If the shooter were white in Kansas City, and if he was wearing a red hat, which you remember in the first couple minutes of this, that's what everybody was hoping for, right, on the left. The media wanted this to be a MAGA guy so they could tie it to Jack Posobiec and all these other people and bring up Taylor Swift and all this stuff and Donald Trump, but it wasn't that. It was gang violence. But so when it's gang violence or gang-style violence, then suddenly guns are the problem. Right? It's not the people. It's only the people if the targets are those that fit the narrative of the media. Rich Barris, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the Second Amendment was ratified 2.5 centuries ago, Jack, and the phenomena of mass shootings and gang violence is new. It's a new phenomena. I'm not going to bring up the event where a lot of this started, but anytime, you know, there's a shooting event or something like this, people who follow us know too, we've studied this a lot. The media plays the worst possible role in this. We know from how they've reported in the past, how they've handled these in, you know, prior events, that we would know already if this fit the bill that they wanted, if these shooters or shooter fit the bill they wanted. That identity goes out whether the FBI or law enforcement tells them not to name that person. They do it anyway. It's also worth noting that they actually act as what's called a social contagion for shootings, especially mass shootings, right? So the new phenomena of transgenders who are shooting up, you know, being the perpetrators of mass shooting, they are acting as a contagion. It means that they bear a responsibility.
Well, and Rich, not only
that, they know it. They
not only
care.
That, we had the Houston, and I had some sources that kind of referred me to this even before it became public, but then it became public that the head of the Houston Homicide Department for the Houston Police came out and admitted, they said, we made sure to conduct an investigation into the shooter's preferred pronouns before we came out and said anything public. I say, excuse me? Yeah. So you're telling me that in the police department, you made sure to sanitize a politically correct narrative before you just came out and reported the truth? You had to go in and make sure that it was okay to refer to the shooter as a woman, yeah, because there was some derogatory information that came out at one point that the woman had referred to herself as a man. And you conducted an investigation into that rather than simply tell the public the truth. That tells you right there that it's not just the media. You have law enforcement agencies playing a role in this as well.
I was just going to say
that. Or at least I would say the heads of the law enforcement agencies.
That itself sends a signal to other, you know, nuts with gender dysphoria and gender delusions that this is being given credibility. And, you know, it really is. I mean, that their worldview is being given credibility. And then the media, when they report on that, and they compound it, Jack. And it's the same. Listen, in the 90s, of course, we remember Columbine, the late 90s. And then throughout the early 2000s, it was like young males who suffered because society was trying to emasculate them, who suffered from various mental illnesses. They became the primary perpetrators of these events. Now, obviously, this is a very clear social epidemic with transgenders. They're just not really willing to talk about it yet. But sadly, they will play this role over and over and over again. And even if, Jack, even if academia or the FBI or some other authority told them that this was dangerous, stop doing it, they wouldn't stop. That's what we witnessed all through the modern phenomena of mass shootings. They've known, academia has told them, FBI has told them, you're making these events worse. Because what happens, for people who don't know what I'm talking about, the inspired events are often worse than the initial event. So the media contributes to that inspired event. It becomes more deadly. But the media doesn't care. because they'll sacrifice your kids. They'll sacrifice your loved ones. They'll sacrifice your coworkers, all to push their ideological, you know, agenda, the agenda.
And this,
of their
and
own
this is the problem,
party.
Right?
Yep.
And so we're seeing that. So they wanted this, the media wanted this to be one of those style events. But then when it later turned out that this was a gang style shooting, it was a couple of guys who had beef with each other, who see each other at the parade, something kicks off. We know there was the witness on CBS, and this was the last time that CBS, I actually watched all of CBS the day after this interview. They didn't mention the shooting once.
Just
I watched the entire CBS morning news just to see if they brought it up. They didn't mention the shooting once. And they sat there, and there was the witness who said, he said, well, there was that girl who came out forward who said, don't do it, not here, don't do it here. And that's right, was the last thing he heard before the shots rang out. I said, wait a minute, that doesn't sound to me like something that was one of these classic mass shootings. That sounds to me like a gang style shooting of people who had beef from some other prior incident that spilled over into seeing each other at the parade. That's who shot up the parade. And then the guy, the same witness, again, CBS, said he was spinning around in a circle, shooting in every direction. This is why, thank God, by the way, that most of the injuries were non-fatal. But again, you had children that were shot, little kids with bullet wounds in their abdomens over this thing. And the media is just, oh, it's just guns. It's just, and all the celebrities, oh, it's just guns. It's like you press one narrative, depending on what it is, rather than actually talk about what really happened.
And that's why, and that's what I just want to say this, that's why none of this ever gets addressed or ever solved, because without honest national discourse, we can't deal with this as a society. And the truth is, even before all of the newer inspired events that we're talking about, it is most likely going to be some form of gang violence when there is a shooting. Gun deaths, the people that die every year from gun deaths, most of them die from suicides. After that, it is gang violence. So these events that they're constantly looking for are typically the they are the minority, few and far between. And until we address that and understand that, we're never going to deal with root causes, ever. It's not going to happen, Jack.
Well, and Rich, every single weekend, they said like, oh, this is unprecedented. I said, no, it's not unprecedented. It happens every single weekend.
Every day.
The only thing that was unprecedented was that it happened at the Super Bowl parade, that it spilled over. How many times do we hear 5-year-old girl was shot, 2-year-old girl was shot, 7-year-old little boy was shot in a crossfire of some gangland shooting, whether it be Kansas City, you can go to Google Maps, by the way, and download. People have made overlays for which gangs control which area, because the residents of there who actually understand this stuff realize, okay, this gang is beef with this gang, so stay out of here. Don't wear this. It's like we're turning into El Salvador, but we don't have a Bukele. Maybe we have one waiting in the wings. We'll see about that come November, and I'd like to ask you about that later. That could be a good transition. But it's amazing to me that you remember those stories from El Salvador where they said, oh, if you wear this pair of sneakers in this part of town, you could be shot up because that's the sneakers that only the gang members wear. This kind of insanity that our own citizens are living under day to day. Government won't talk about it. Media won't talk about it. Even right-wing media won't talk about it. So it falls to us, Human Events Daily. Human Events Daily and the People's Pundit to bring all this up. Come back next. Rich Barris with more.
So they talk about influencers. These are influencers. And they're friends of mine. Jack Posobiec. Where's Jack? Jack. He's done a great job.
Here we are, Jack Posobiec back live, Human Events Daily. We're on with Rich Barris. Folks, today the world, we know, they're in flames. Bidenomics, a complete and total disaster. But it cannot and will not ruin my day. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because I start every single day with a hot America First cup of Blackout Coffee. Blackout Coffee is 100% Americana. Blackout Coffee is 100% committed to conservative values. From sourcing the beans to the roasting process, customer support and shipping, they embody true American values. And accept no compromise on taste or quality. Look, folks, I love this stuff every morning. I get it every single day. Tiny Tim makes it for me. It is the best day. Go to blackoutcoffee.com/poso and use promo code POSO20 for 20% off your first order. Look, we know Valentine's Day, we just had it. There's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of different gifts. You can go there. Go and just give it to somebody for a birthday. I got a bunch of birthdays coming up this spring. It's great. It's the gift that keeps on giving because it's a year-long subscription to the product. blackoutcoffee.com/poso. blackoutcoffee.com/poso, promo code POSO20. Rich Barris is our guest. So, Rich, I'd be remiss if I brought you up and I didn't ask you, man, What are the polls showing? You guys over at Big Data Poll did a big drop over the weekend, getting a lot of play. I believe President Trump even highlighted your work recently, as he usually does. But tell us, what is it that you're seeing out there? Because, look, we know, and it's going to be a big week as well, because we just heard, speaking of Bukele, Bukele is coming to CPAC this week. Javier Milei is going to be at CPAC this week. President Trump speaking at CPAC on Saturday. Jack Poso speaking at CPAC Friday. I'm the warm-up back for Trump. We're getting the room ready for him. So he's got Bukele, Milei, and Poso before Trump gets up. Is this going to be, and I think I know the answer, it's not going to be a surprise, it feels to me like we're facing a law and order style election.
Yeah, you know, you and I talk a lot too about unions. I've been, you know, ever since we did that poll and put it out late last week. It was the first of it was released Friday, and then we drifted throughout the weekend. This is, you know, for you specifically too. We asked about issues. Trump overwhelmingly leads when it comes to policing or crime and safety. It's not even close. But Jack, unions, you and I talk a lot about. This month, Donald Trump took a slight lead with private sector union households, and then public sector actually got closer. And if they are both, Trump has, you know, somebody who has public sector and private sector union member in their household, he leads among those voters as well. There is a lot in this poll that is, you know, should be discussed. So for the second time ever in our polling, whether we lean voters or not, Donald Trump was above 50% support. And he was higher than he was last month, which is when we first ever found him to be above 50% or higher, which is, for people in my business, no, statistically very significant. And on the primary side, there's so much to go over the general, but on the primary side of it too, the Republican Party is consolidated behind Donald Trump. This has not been a competitive primary season, and it continues to be even less so moving on. But the issues to me, Jack, this is what it came down to.
Wait, Rich, can I just follow up on what you just said right there?
Yeah,
do you remember how much crap
that
you and I, you weren't going to get away from that. Do you remember how much crap you and I took for all those months when I would have you on and we would say, this is not a competitive primary. And they'd say, Rich Barris doesn't know what he's talking about. Rich Barris is making up. That's all funny numbers. The polling's a psyop. They started running AI polls. This is mostly from former candidates, supporters. And attacking your methods, attacking everything that came out. And then lo and behold, that the answer was exactly what you said it was going to be, in the same way that, look, we've got what should be a huge primary election coming up this Saturday, where you've got the former governor of a state going up against a former president, someone who was a two-time winner of the state. So on paper, just on paper, you would think that this is going to be like a knockdown, dragout kind of fight down in South Carolina. But that's just not the case.
No.
And it's not the case anywhere.
It's not. And actually, because our polling is so, our samples are so large, we actually spoke to quite a few people in South Carolina, all over the state, from the Piedmont to, upstate, which is part of, Piedmont's part of upstate, or I would say upstate's part of Piedmont, but, to the shores, to the PDs, this is not close. This is not going to be close. Even for someone who has the record that Nikki Haley has being the governor of that state. But beyond that, Jack, there's just no area where she could. After New Hampshire, let's be honest, after New Hampshire, there was really nowhere else to go. And that's actually very close to what we have up right now. I mean, that number right there is almost identical to what we have found. I mean, it's about 8 in 10 Republican primary voters have consolidated behind Donald Trump. So now it's really on to the general election. And we always ask people too, if your candidate is not the nominee, what will you do? Most of Republicans are more consolidated behind Donald Trump than Democrats are consolidated behind their sitting president. That includes the, roughly 15% who told us they'd vote for Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley rose a little bit this month because the field consolidated, but Donald Trump rose more than almost three times the number that she rose in support. So at the end of the day, even people who say they're, voting for Nikki Haley, most of them will vote for Trump. Those who say they won't are really, when we dissect them, and we did this on the show today a little bit, when we dissect them, Jack, they're not really Republicans. We're in a realignment, so you know, the all the juicy stuff at this point should be in the conversations about why is Donald Trump beating Biden by the margin that he's beating him by? Can Biden correct the ship? My old buddy Nate Silver just went on and on about how Biden is losing and there's no plan to right the ship. There isn't. The problem is simple. Donald Trump has been a president. Joe Biden is the president now. We tested every issue, and only on abortion, which was a tiny margin for Joe Biden, only on abortion did they trust Biden to handle that issue more than Trump. Trump beat him on everything else. The Russo-Ukrainian war, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, inflation and cost of living, jobs in the economy, foreign policy and national security, immigration and border security. I mean, we tested 15 issues, some, you know, 10, 15 issues. And Donald Trump was ahead on every one of them. That was not the case in 2020, brother. And they each had their own respective issues. This is very different. They know how Trump handles the presidency. They liked it better. And that is why Democrats are going to try to slap the label of felon on him to try to just make him unpalatable to some of those people who would otherwise vote for Trump over him. Will it work is the only question this cycle. That's the only question, because the rest of this, we know, you know, we've been prodding now, like you said, for over a year. And by the way, that AI thing I just got to address, because that was one that stuck in my craw a lot. That's not real. AI has been developed for certain uses in polling. I know I was part of it. I was at the conference. He wasn't there. Okay. I was one of the first people in the country to even get the tool. All right. So this was all just a monumental waste of time, waste of energy, waste of money. And we're ending up right where we said you and I have been talking about for a year where we're going to end up.
And now, Rich, let's also ask another thing, because this is the other part that I want to get into. Now,
real men apologize, by the way.
So go ahead. As they do. So lawfare is really taking front and center, because, you know, I said this in 2020. I said all throughout 2020, I said Donald Trump's real opponent is not Joe Biden. Donald Trump's real opponent is election fraud. I said it again and again. Ronna McDaniel sent her people after me the same way she sent people after our friends right now after she got, you know, her walking papers. I think the real opponent is not necessarily Joe Biden once again. This time around, yes, we've also got the election fraud in terms of ballots, but we've also got, right, which we're fighting with ballot chase, but we've also got lawfare. And it feels like lawfare is taking it's this role front and center. But here's my question, and the way I'm looking at this, when we see these ridiculous sums pitted against Trump, it's like when you see fine $350 million plus $450 million for doing business, when you include the entire family, entire business, everyone who's fined this much, charged this much, indicted this much, then he drops a pair of golden sneakers and the sneakers sell out in a couple hours. I say, wait a minute. Donald Trump is just following the same trajectory of like every major hip hop star of the last 30 years. Like, I think people are not looking at this right.
Did you see Frank Luntz even tweeted that, you know, Donald Trump, you know, with all the problems, yes, he's going to the sneaker con thing. Look at the demographics at sneaker con. This is a state he barely lost. It's a demographic that he could use some shoring up with. I mean, this was a right move, Jack. It was the right, because he's going to have to win this, certainly from a culture war perspective. He's not even traditional culture wars that we talk about in politics. It's very different. What he's doing now is the way he's going to have to approach this, because he's got to do better with people that, you know, voted for Biden, supported Biden, those age groups. But those are actually the same people who think the least of the lawfare. And here's one of the findings that I thought was just huge from this poll. A year ago, or before Alvin Bragg, if you asked people who you trusted to handle more on various issues, and that issue was protecting democracy and corruption, which is what we say, how we use it, right? They would give it to Biden. And by a pretty big margin, because they were thinking in their heads January 6th. But ever since Biden had his, you know, lackeys at the Justice Department go down to Alvin Bragg's office and indict him on some ridiculous thing, ever since, you know, we have Tish James with what is a very normal construction loan, a developer loan, you know, him being fined outrageous sums of money for that. People aren't liking this, Jack. They don't like it. And this month, people told us they trust Trump more on preserving democracy. Why? Because they overshot it, brother. They overextended. They had it. They had the advantage on that particular issue, and they couldn't stick to, you know, it wasn't good enough. And they had to overreach. And I guess that's what I'm trying to say here. They overreached. And now when you ask people about that particular issue, it's not about J6 only. It's not about, you know, everything they told the country Donald Trump was a threat to this institution, that election, this election. He's an election denier. Now it's about the lawfare, too. And when people are asked that question, they're not just thinking about what Democrats wanted them to think about. They're thinking about all the other stuff that they took a risk on and it backfired. So people should go. We have the trust to handle issues graph on the press release. Go look at that. You'll be blown away how it's changed.
Name the website again right before we go to break.
Yeah, it's right on bigdatapoll.com right now. Scroll to the bottom. You'll see the press releases and the portfolio tracker.
Bigdatapoll.com. Back in 1 second, Rich Barris.
Where's Jack? Where is he? Jack, I want to see you. Great job, Jack.
Thank you.
What a job you do. You know, we have an incredible thing. We're always talking about the fake news and the bad, but we have guys, and these are the guys who should be getting Pulitzers.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live. Human Events Daily, Washington, D.C. Talking to Rich Barris, all about the polls that we're looking at. Rich, walk me through, and I'd like to hear, you know, sort of your reaction to this theory that I have, because I remember every pollster, every consultant, all the establishment guys in town here in D.C. were saying, oh, Trump is going to get convicted in at least one of these four, right? He's going to be one of the four. It's either going to be Fannie. Alvin Bragg, by the way, might be the fastest to trial, because we're hearing that Alvin Bragg might, this is the Stormy Daniels case up in New York, is actually having jury selection in just a couple of weeks here, folks. So we could see President Trump on not just civil trial, but criminal trial. You know, they're saying, oh, he could be convicted in any of these. But here's my like, when I look at, take off the sort of like, oh, I'm deep in the weeds kind of view. And I step back and I look at like the sneaker con type viewer. I said, when their minds, he's been convicted already. Right. The media narrative is that Trump has already been convicted. They're saying he's found guilty of rape. They're saying he's found guilty of frauding with his business. And so does it really change anything to say, oh, and he paid off this person, and oh, he took some documents, said, right? I feel like it's just more noise. It's just more noise and part of the same narrative. And I don't necessarily think that it's going to move the needle the way they want it to.
This is why I'm against asking these questions the way you're seeing some of these pollsters ask these questions, because the voter knows what answer that you're supposed to, that they are.
Wait, but how are they? OK, so you. How are they asking the question? Explain that for the audience.
OK, so
how
would
are
you
they
vote
asking
for?
The question?
Yeah. So first and most often, they'll first ask a traditional, who are you going to vote for? Thinking about the election in November, who are you going to vote for? And then they'll say, but what if Donald Trump is convicted of one of these charges? And they'll basically lay them out. But they always use the words felony, right? People know what answer. They know what you want to hear. And a lot of those, that's typical injecting of bias in a survey. And I'm a little stunned that there aren't more pollsters bringing this up. And then here's the kicker. When you're talking about the Wall Street Journal poll, when you're talking about the Harvard Harris poll, it doesn't even get Biden a lead big enough that would change the Electoral College all that much. He would still win the Electoral College. But to me, in my mind, and this is why I still personally like to interview voters myself. I don't just sub it out to a phone center or a phone bank and let them do all the work. I don't do that. We have employees. They are agents. They're trained. And whether they're doing peer-to-peer, they're doing live. And I like to do it myself. I monitor. And I also like to jump in, Jack, and make some calls myself so I don't lose connection, you know, with the voters out there. And I'm not just like the guy who's the name of the polling company. You know, I like to still be in the weeds. And I'm telling you, people already assume that Donald Trump is going to be convicted. If you would have polled somebody before 2016,
it's baked in. I'm telling you, it's baked in.
It's, dude, if you would have polled somebody before 2016 would have said, what if there's an undercover tape that has Donald Trump on it saying, grab him by the P word, right? And there would have been 10% loss in that poll. If you would even ask voters, what if the House impeached Joe Biden because he was taking bribes from China? Joe Biden would lose support. That's push poll nonsense, folks. There is almost no legitimate way to ask that poll. You can to ask that question. Now, you could say, are you aware of the cases against Donald Trump? And then ask, well, who are you going to vote for? Maybe that's a little bit better of a way to approach it. But to us, it still doesn't get to the heart of it. People know, they're aware, Jack. So when we ask them, who are you going to vote for? It's already in their mind. Nobody thinks Donald Trump's going to get a fair trial. Very few. And when you look at people who say, yes, he's going to get a fair trial, guess what? They're Biden voters. So no one's being duped here. You know, so to me, I don't like it. I think it injects bias. I think that if you were in like second year of college, you would fail survey design if you tried to put a question on like this. So people are going to know, just like they knew about Hillary Clinton and her issues. People are going to know, just like they knew about Joe Biden. They know about Joe Biden's problems and his
even
son's
by
problems.
The way, even with they Stormy know. Daniels, even with so producer Foz was asking me this last week. So we were kind of like, we were kind of wargaming it. And he said, okay, well, what if some liberal and you're debating? We do these like, you know, we do these sort of like red team debates, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
Where he'll, okay, so I'm some liberal and I'm saying, okay, Trump just got convicted of the payments and Stormy Daniels and all this stuff.
Which he will be.
We don't even know where
that
case is going to go, which he probably will be. The real question is whether or not it's a felony or not, because the idea that it's a felony campaign finance violation is such a novel theory that I think there's going to be very high bar for them to get that.
That's
something
right.
that I do anticipate being, being appealed and going all the way up. You know,
but you just said
quite
it.
Frankly,
can I just stop
I think
there?
That should be at the Supreme Court. And I think, well, I'll just finish my point, is that I think people are just going to go back and all you say back is, look, we know Donald Trump was a playboy. We knew he was a playboy back in those years. Who didn't know that? It was his whole brand. It was his entire brand. The issue is that you guys are trying to criminalize that stuff. That's the issue. And you wouldn't have done that had he not run for president.
Yeah. And again, I mean, you just said the magic word, appeal. That polling question itself lends this feeling that there's finality to it when the voter is asked that on the other end of the line. And that is not reality. He will appeal it. And of course, there will be all of these national discussions about how they tried to do this before with John Edwards. And forget about, you know, labeling him a felon. It was way over and way too novel of it. And they, you know, this will never survive the Supreme Court. People are going to hear about that stuff, Jack. They're already, by the way, Alvin Bragg politically going first is the dumbest thing they could do, because that's what's going to be heard in the vote, you know, by the voter as we move forward. The same way that all these polls said, yes, I want Donald Trump removed from the ballot. It got eviscerated at the Supreme Court. It'll probably be unanimous. And then if that's even the case, Jack, why are they picking him? Why is he leading in the polls? If a majority of these very same polls that ask this question tell us that people think he should be removed from the ballot because of the insurrection, then why is he winning? Because they know the answers to these questions, because those are bias injecting questions and you're skewing the results of the poll. They know this. They know it. It's not reality. It's not how voters make decisions when they're deciding who's going to make my life better. And right now, when they ask themselves that question from on every issue, the answer is Donald Trump, and that's Joe Biden's biggest problem. Telling.
And so this is where we come into. People can see the difference. And people, they look at these
lived
situations.
They say,
everybody knows, by the way, the fact that it's his own home, right? His own home, Mar-a-Lago, that when people take out a loan against their house, this is exactly what every family who's had to take out a home against their house or a line of credit or a second mortgage, this is what everyone is going to do in the entire country. This is why Kevin O'Leary is coming out against this. This is why I really think that they're playing their cards way too hard. They don't have the set of cards that they think they do. They're going to show them all and tip it at the outset. By the way, March, we're very far away from the election, by the way.
Yep.
One of these things, you know, I think they've destroyed their credibility so much that nothing they can do to Trump will overcome from the abject failures of Joe Biden that we can see every single day. Last minute and a half, Rich Barris.
Jack, Fannie Willis completely deteriorated on that stand.
I didn't even talk about Fannie Willis yet.
I mean, but look at the polls in that state.
Yes.
She charged him in the state of Georgia, and Donald Trump is crushing Joe Biden in Georgia right now. People are not as dumb as they think they are. And how they painted everybody who questioned the election integrity of 2020, how the media and the Democrats painted everybody with that same broad brush is going to come back to haunt them, because that's how these cases are going to be painted. Thank you, Fannie, right there. Jack Smith should personally call you and thank you for destroying his credibility, because they're going to link you all together. Voters are not going to think that they're separate entities acting alone. They're not that dumb. They all know they're all in this together to stop Donald Trump and prosecute Donald Trump in a way in an election interference scam. I mean, that's what they're not stupid. I think people think voters are dumb. They're busy. They're not dumb. And especially with some of these people that Democrats are struggling with now, they've seen this before. I'm sorry, but just saying this here. You know, some of the better, you know, upper class privileged white people, this is like new to them. This part's new to them. It's not new to everybody else, brother.
It is. And that's where you're seeing the biggest. That's where you're seeing Elon Musk make a huge move. Michael Schellenberger, Joe Rogan, a lot of the people in that world. Rich Barris, where can people call you,
man? Scares them. Thanks, Jack. All the best, brother. Peoplespundit.locals.com.
Peoplespundit.locals.com. The People's Pundit, Rich Barris, the Big Data Pool. Stay tuned, back, folks. We'll be right back.
Being long hours, I'm always listening to Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live, Human Events Daily. Accelerate the contradictions, ladies and gentlemen. We must accelerate the contradictions. What do I mean by this? It's very simple. Okay. Fannie Willis is a walking, talking, living contradiction. She's going after Trump for a RICO violation, which she claims is a RICO violation, Racketeering Influence and Corrupt Organizations Act, RICO, when she herself was conducting racketeering. Kathy Hochul, governor of the state of New York, she came out today and she said something like, other businesses in the state of New York don't need to worry, because we're only treating the Trump organization like that. Kathy, do you realize what you just said? Do you even realize what you just said? Trump's business are your, these businesses are different than Donald Trump's business, and you don't have something to worry about. So she's admitting, right, this is how dumb Kathy Hochul is, that she, and by the way, that's not an insult. It's not an insult. We're still in that, not an insult. That is a statement of fact. Okay, it's just a statement of fact. Because she's saying, and admitting publicly, same way Fannie Willis did, that she is doing what everyone says they're doing. The same way that Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade down there in Georgia, Fulton County, admitted that they were having a relationship, an illicit affair, while he was married, by the way, wherein there was a no-bid contract to hire him as the special prosecutor on Trump, and that they were conducting their sexcapades, for which there is no record of her being her reimbursing him in any way, that he paid for, and we have a full record of that. No record of her reimbursing thousands and thousands of dollars. And we're just told to believe that it was all done with cash. No record of reimbursement. Okay. That's not smart. Okay. That's just not smart. Kathy Hochul admitting that Trump's business is targeted, saying it publicly. We are targeting Trump's businesses, and other businesses don't have to worry. What Rich just said in the previous segment is very important, because every time you put these people on camera, every time you put a Kathy Hochul or a Fannie Willis or that jury foreman, that jury foreperson, who, by the way, I pointed out even before it came out publicly, that this is clearly like one of those Harry Potter type, super fans that also is hyper liberal and into identity politics. And then later we found her social media, and that's exactly who she was. And she was talking about how important it was to get Trump. This is having an effect on voters that are higher education, that are your upper income white voters. These are your suburban voters. These are your people who are not necessarily, a dyed-in-the-wool Trump supporter for the most part, because they view themselves as more moderate. They view themselves as more down the line, soccer moms, soccer dads, that kind of thing. And which I should know, by the way, because I'm married to a soccer mom right now, even though she's like hardcore right wing. Tanya Tay is more right wing than me, folks. But she is also a soccer mom. And so you get people, right? You get people who say, well, I don't like these politics, but Trump seems like a bad guy. But then when they start actually finding out the truth of the people that are going after Trump, they start learning what the government's been doing. They start learning what the media is being covered up. A guy they trust, like Elon Musk, comes out and starts telling the truth about these things, starts telling the truth about the border, starts telling the truth about the cover-ups in media, starts telling the truth about government. And everyone can see it, right? Elon Musk offers freedom of speech on his platform, and suddenly Elon Musk is getting sued. Suddenly he's getting investigated. Suddenly EEO is coming after him. Suddenly they're going after his business in the state of Delaware. Suddenly they're trying to take away his compensation package. What's going wrong? He's had that compensation package for what, like 15 years from Tesla? And then all of a sudden, there's a bunch of problems that get found. Well, we can understand what's happening here. This is the targeting by a group of people that are in charge of our government at various levels. And we know, by the way, that Letitia James and Fannie Willis and these people all are in coordination with the White House. We know they're in coordination with the White House. We know they're in coordination with the president, in coordination with the Department of Justice and Merrick Garland. And we know for a fact that she was in coordination with the January 6th committee last year when it was being run by who, right? When it was being run by Liz Cheney and all the people who were in charge of Adam Kinzinger and all this stuff. Okay, it's all connected. We know it's all connected. Here's the difference. They're going so far afield of it that we are able to push back in such a way, and people say, you know what? They're going after this guy in a way, a guy who currently is not the president, a guy who's not in elected office, Donald Trump, not in elected office, not the president of the United States. He's, his business is under investigation. He's under investigation. His children are under investigation. Lawsuits coming out of all over the place. Lawsuits, and even in this business fraud case, remember, the banks themselves came out and said, we were not frauded and we would continue to do business with the Trump Organization. And in fact, we'd like to continue doing business with the Trump Organization because we all made money off of these loans. And yet they still fine him. Who exactly gets that money, by the way? If, he's fined $450 million, but the bank said that they didn't feel that they were frauded. So where does the money even go? The coffers of the state of New York, Kathy Hochul's coffers. And she says, don't worry, we're only going to do this against Trump. Yeah, now. You're only going to do it to Trump now. The regime is going mask off. The regime is going full mask off. And they're doing it to Donald Trump at possibly the most least opportune time to them. And I shouldn't be giving them advice, but let's face it, folks, they're not going to listen to your humble navigator here on Human Events Daily. No, 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 no. They are not going to listen to me. They're going to say, oh, that's a right-wing conspiracy theory, right? This is the conspiracy theory cycle, remember? First, it's not happening. Second, that's a right-wing conspiracy theory. Third, it might be happening. And then fourth, okay, it is happening and it's good. How many times have we seen this cycle over and over and over played out by the media, by the government, or the powers that be? We've seen it so many times, and there's been too many lies. Too many times, too many lies. Too many times, too many lies. You are losing every single demographic in this country. You are getting desperate. And we the people, whether it be Argentina, whether it be El Salvador, or whether it be the United States of America, are not going to take it any longer. Law and order will prevail. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have my permission to lay ashore.